We're continuing in this with this morning's message, and the message was the lagoon of lukewarmness. We know that the seven churches are seven literal churches, but that these churches actually represent the seven different church ages from the resurrection of Christ to our current age. We know that many of the churches, there were things that Jesus would say, things like, I know your good works, how you've been faithful in all of these things, but I have one thing against you. And then he would say what that one thing was. Many times, would you please turn your phones off? I just thought I'd say that before we start. many times whenever I heard that ding, ding, ding over here, there was something that... Okay, good deal. Mine's in my office on silence. Okay, very good. Yours on airplane mode. Okay, so we're flying low tonight. Okay. All right. So many of these churches, he would commend them and share with them some of the good things that they'd been doing. And then he would tell them what they were lacking. This particular church, the Church of the Laodiceans, he had no commendation for. Matter of fact, there was nothing good that he had to say about them. Because they were so half-hearted, they were so lukewarm, that he said that he couldn't stand to be around them, that he would have to spew them out of his mouth. These churches represent different church ages, but if you look close enough at churches today, you will see that they are seven different church attitudes. And that these attitudes, all seven of them, are present and prevalent in our churches today. And so when we look at all of these attitudes, we know that some people aren't as faithful as others. Amen. Come on, be with me here. Some people don't attend church as much as others. Some people don't give as much as others. They don't give in the same proportion and so forth. So we know that there is different attitudes within one church. So if we recognize these attitudes that are prevalent, we can actually grow and allow the Lord to work through us, reaching people because of the truth that sets us free in Jesus Christ. Now, many of these churches would take their doctrine from the community, from the culture that they lived in, and they would intertwine that culture into the church doctrine. That's how they would leave. That's why they would have prostitution worship in some of the churches. And how can you possibly get that far away from God to think that prostitution was a form of worship? But it was, and we know that it was, in the church of Thyatira. Now, because there was no commendation to this particular church, all God had for them was a rebuke. And that's why I believe it's important for us to see what God was saying to them, because we know individuals in our own church, we know individuals in Christendom in other churches that are half-hearted, half-committed, that are lukewarm as well. So I'd like to have you turn with me this morning, and we're going to read our main text once again so that we can see the conclusion to this message in the context in which it's written. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, beginning now in verse 14. He says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's where we left this morning. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and now am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Now, when we look at what Jesus was saying to this church, he was trying to give them an analogy of their lives so that they would see themselves as God sees them. And that's why he said you're neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. Now, I shared this morning about the location, and we'll kind of zip through all of those. You don't need to go back to it. I'm going to just zip through it. The location was between Hierapolis and Colossae, and Hierapolis was known for the hot springs. And people loved to come from all over the world to Hierapolis to bathe in the hot springs. They'd actually bathe in the hot mud, and they would cake themselves with the hot mud, which was hot because of the volcanic activity in that area. And so they would cake themselves with mud, and then when they'd bathe in the hot springs, the mud would get washed off, and their skin would be all exfoliated, and they would feel so good, and they would look so good, and it was great. And there, no bacteria could grow in that hot temperature because it would just burn it up. Colossae, on the other hand, was 70 miles away, and so it was an area where there were cold springs. And the cold springs came right out of the mountaintop. They were there in the foothills before you cross over the mountain to go down to the seashore. They were there in the foothills, and that's where the mountain springs would come out of, and it was very good, cold, pure mountain spring water. So you have the two contrasts between Hierapolis and between Colossae, and in between them lied the city of Laodicea. The city of Laodicea was in a valley, and so they had built aquifers to bring the water from Hierapolis as well as from Colossae to their area. But the problem was, by the time that hot water got to Colossae, it had cooled off, it was lukewarm, and by the time the cold water from Colossae had come, it had warmed up, and so it was lukewarm. And so even when you blended them together, all you had was lukewarm water, and the problem was bacteria would grow rapidly in that lukewarm environment, and anyone that drank that putrid, lukewarm water would get sick. They would become nauseated. They would actually ingest parasites and so forth, so they would become deathly sick. And that's why Jesus was saying, you're neither hot nor cold like Hierapolis and Colossae, but you're lukewarm, and because of that, you are putrid. I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, the accusation was, they thought that they had everything fixed. They thought that they had all their boxes checked off, that they were Christians, that they were rich, and that they could take care of themselves. And the problem was, he says, you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That was their true condition, their true condition. So tonight we're going to look at the council. He gives them one word, repent. Now we know what that word means. One word, repent. But it is also accompanied with another word. The amazing thing is, first thing he says that they need to do is to buy. Notice what he says, to buy of me. To buy of me gold that has gone through the fire. Now, what happens to gold when it goes through the fire? It becomes more precious, amen? It becomes more purified. It becomes more valuable. How are your lives like the gold that we're talking about? See, when we go through trials and problems and situations, and the Lord delivers us from that and helps us through those situations to where now we are a better person, it has shaved off some of the impurities in our lives. It has created more the character of Christ in our lives, and now people are more likely to see Jesus in us than they were before. He says, I want you to buy of me gold. It's gone through the fire. Is that talking about purchasing salvation, you think? No. No, 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 no. See, what he's actually saying is, you need to make an investment. You need to make a great investment, because you can't be a Christian and not have it cost you something. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to spend some time with the Lord in order to walk with the Lord. The Lord is not just going to let you walk your path and then correct you when it's necessary. No. God wants you to walk the path that He has chosen, and He tells you where that path is. In order to find that path, you have to spend time with Him. Now, that means that you may have to spend a half an hour, maybe an hour of your precious time to spend time with the one who gave His life for you. My, that's terrible, isn't it? See, some people will say they don't have enough time to do that. No, I say, you do have enough time. God's given you 24 hours, and you can take one of them and spend an hour with Almighty God. Now, if you have too many things going on in your day, maybe you need to weed out some of those things so that you have some time that you can spend with God. Maybe if you sleep too long, you need to sleep, set your alarm to 1 hour earlier so you can spend some time with God. Not only will you have to spend time with God, you're going to have to spend time with your family with God. You need to spend time investing your life in your family so that there is a legacy in your family. See, he's talking about making an investment. That's why he used the term buy. Buy of me gold that's gone through the fire. If we're a Christian, it's going to cost us time. It's going to cost us our talents. Guess what? God gave us a talent for a reason. Amen? He didn't give us a talent to make us feel warm and fuzzy all over. No. He gave us a talent so that we can be useful in the body and that He might work through us to accomplish His purpose using our talents, using our gifts that He's given us so that it will bring Him glory and honor. God has given us special talents to be used for His purpose and for His kingdom. That's why it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time with your family. Time with your family and God. Time with, you know, using your talents for Him and serving Him. Oh my goodness. It's also going to cost you a tithe. See, believe it or not, the clothes you wear are not yours. No, they're God's. God gave them to you. God allows you to work and to have an income so that you can provide for yourself. God is allowing you to provide for yourself, and he's given you a way to do that. God provides for you everything from the clothes you wear to the food you eat to the house you live in to the church you worship at to the seat you're sitting in. It all belongs to God. Amen? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and it's going to cost us a tithe. Now, some people would say, you know, that's just not smart, Pastor, for me to tithe. Money's really tight in my family. Well, why would you want to rob from the person that you're wanting to bless you? It's going to cost us something to be a Christian. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you your talents. It's going to cost you your tithe. There are many things that it's going to cost, but he's wanting us to make an investment so that his kingdom can flourish. Now, he says, I want you to also to get white clothing, because he said in the previous verse, we're naked and poor and destitute. Well, that clothing is the righteousness of Christ. As living right, not because we're seeking God's approval, but it's living right because of his approval, because of his sacrifice. See, I used to do anything I wanted to do before I was saved. Now, after I'm saved, I do everything I want to do. The only difference is God changed my want-tos. That's the difference. Living a righteous life, not in order to seek his approval, but because of who he is and the change that he's made in your life. How is it possible that 5 women can be together for 1 week, solid time, 24/7, eat together, sleep together, enjoy the scenery together, and never have an argument? How is that possible? God is the only answer. How else can Kathy Kelly and Yolanda go and visit Pat and Kay in Hawaii and be there for a full week and no one rubs the other one the wrong way and no one says anything that's discolorful? There are no arguments, there's no strife, there's no problems, there's no divisions. It's just sisters that love one another. And they're not doing that because they want to gain God's approval. They're doing that because they have God's approval. And there's a big difference. That's why Jesus is telling the Laodiceans, I want you to buy gold tried in fire, and I want you to wear white raiment to cover your nakedness. See, we are literally naked without Christ. What happened when sin entered the world? Adam and Eve were originally naked, but they didn't see themselves as naked, amen? But when sin entered in, they saw themselves as naked and they felt ashamed. And they hid themselves from God and from God's presence because they felt ashamed. When we are in sin, lost in sin, God's presence doesn't abide with us. We are apart from him. His love flows to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit that is wooing us and speaking to us and leading us to salvation. We see then that when we receive Christ as our Savior, something takes place. There's a rebirth, a new birth, being born again. Nicodemus, a religious man, said, how is that possible? Are we to crawl back in our mother's womb? And Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto you, that which is flesh, that which is of the Spirit is spirit. That which is of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. When we are born again, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, we are no longer clothed in our righteousness, which is the righteousness of the world, the righteousness of sin, which is, the Bible tells us, as filthy rags. Now, when we falter, when we stumble, when we sin, we don't lose our righteousness. We don't lose our protective covering. We don't lose that being clothed in white linen. No, God sees us as one of His children. Let me ask you something. Most of you have children, or have had children. Amen? Were they always obedient? No. Now, when they're not obedient, are they any less your children? No. They're still your children. They're just disobedient children. Amen? So your DNA is running in and through their veins. It makes them who they are. And when Christ accepts us and we accept Him, our DNA changes. We are born again. We are, get the word, regenerate. It means we are re-gened. I have brown eyes because of my genes. When I'm born again, my genetics changes. Now I don't want to serve self. I want to serve Him because He gave His heart and life to me so that I would have eternal life, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's what Jesus is telling the church of the Laodiceans. He also tells them to put some eye salve on their eyes that they might see. Wow. Why would He say that? Because they were blind spiritually. See, it's hard for us to have spiritual discernment using human logical reasoning. God doesn't use human logical reasoning. No. God is divine. And because He is divine, there are spiritual truths that are true, and we have to accept those truths by faith. Yes, it's difficult to tithe when you don't have enough money to go around. But the interesting thing is this. I have always found it's easier for me to live on the 90% that God allows me to use. Did you hear the term? It's not mine. It's the 90% of what I have that He allows me to use. It's easier for me to use that than it is to try to get by on 100%. Because if I'm robbing the one that I want to bless me, how does that help? It doesn't. Matter of fact, there are some individuals, and Dwayne knows this man, his name is John, that when he is in between jobs, when there are difficulties in his family, when money isn't stretching far enough, you know what he does? He doubles up his tithe. He says, God, I trust You. Sink or swim, I trust You. And I know You won't let me be a beggar on the corner. I trust You explicitly. And because of that, I'm going to double up my tithe because it's all Yours anyway. Wow. That's putting faith into action. So Jesus tells them, first of all, to buy spiritual gold, to the white raiment, the clothing, and to put eye salve on their eyes that they may see. Secondly, we see. Then He says, I want you to be zealous and repent. Now, why would He put that word zealous with repent? That's the only place that He used the term zealous. I want you to be zealous and repent. Why would he do that? Because they were lukewarm. They weren't zealous about anything. Where do you want to go for supper?
I don't care.
Well, what do you like to eat?
Anything works.
Well, do you want beef or chicken?
I don't care.
They were half-hearted, half-committed to everything. And here we see in the text that he says, I rebuke and chasten everyone I love. Therefore, be zealous and repent. He says, this is going to be difficult for you. You're going to feel like you've been knocked around a little bit. But you need to pick whose side you're on and make every lick count. You need to be zealous. See, they could very easily repent by just going this way. This is the way of sin. And now I'm just going to turn around and go this way. And oh, I don't like that. I'm just going to go back. Why? Because they're not zealous. They were wishy-washy. Have you ever heard that term? My son's building a swimming pool in ground behind his house. He's got a guy that has been helping him with that and doing some of the dirt work and the concrete work. And you know how you have to tump in the sand and everything before you lay the concrete for the pool? And you have these big weighted tamping sticks, and they're about 12 foot square. And you thunk, 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 and you're tumping all of this sand, okay? And he brings a worker with him, the guy does. And he brings a worker with him. The guy is like 21 years old, doesn't really know how to work, and this is how he's tumping the sand. He goes, thunk, 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 thunk. And my son is over there going, thunk, 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 thunk. Everybody else is going, thunk, 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 thunk. And this kid, who's stronger than both of them, muscled up, going, thunk, thunk, thunk. The boss told him, son, you better get a hold of it and start making every stroke count. He says, you're loafing. Get after it. You need to stay in rhythm with us. Now get with it. And he made him stay in rhythm with him. The kid had no heart for it. He was just there burning time so that he could get a paycheck at the end of the day. Wow. And see, that's what many Christians do. They just come to church to get, I got that box checked off this week. Yep, got this box checked off. I'm good till Wednesday, and I'll go, and then I'll sit, and I'll listen to the pastor bump his gums for an hour. That'll check that box. I'm good to go till next week. Half-hearted, half-commitment. And that's why, if it's not particularly easy, or if you have to go out of the way to go on Sunday night or Wednesday night, well, we just won't go. It's just easier. Amen? And we can look around the room and see where people sit that would normally be here. But there's just not the commitment. You know what we ought to do? We ought to have a phone fest. And we ought to call everyone that's not here when we get home tonight and go, hey, we missed you. Just wanted you to know I was loving you. And about 27 other people, call them. Don't you know? They get the message. Be zealous. There are some people that are very zealous over horses. That's their number one thing. They're zealous. Why? They can look at that Arabian horse. They know what the father was, what the mother was, what their breeding was, the whole nine yards. I mean, they are zealot horse people. There are some people that are zealot car people. They know cars inside and out. Our neighbor, there's a guy that's been kind of stopping in and seeing Marianne a little bit. He drives a Raptor Ford F-150, and Raptor
Yeah,
I mean, that's a pretty expensive pickup. Anyway, today I see he's got a 65 or a 66 Ford Galaxy 500 all restored. And it's like, oh, that thing's beautiful. Well, you know, he's kind of an automobile person. That's his thing. There are some people that are dog people. You'd think I was a dog person. I'm not. I'm truly not. I mean, I talk about Buster, but I'm not a dog person. And, you know, there are some people that are gun people. You'd think I was a gun person, too, but I'm not. Yeah, I have probably more than I can carry myself. But 8 guns are not too many. Amen? I mean, 20 aren't too many, are they? 100 aren't too many, are they? When is too many, you know? So some people would say that, you know, someone that's got that many guns is a gun zealot. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not a gun zealot. I mean, no. I've only got 8 that are registered. Oh, that's being taped, isn't it? Oh, boy. I just thought of that. See, what he's saying to them, I want you to be zealous about something, and that something has to be me. Because if you're not zealous about our relationship, when you repent and turn and go the other way, you will be easily turned back. That's why he says, be zealous and repent. Thirdly, he says he's standing at the open door of our heart. And I think it's the open door of our heart. It doesn't say heart, but he's standing at the open door. Now, that's showing Christ's readiness. That's showing his willingness and his readiness in order to receive us as we have repented. Okay? So, he's saying, if you will be zealous, if you will repent, by the gold that's been tried in fire and clothed in the righteousness, the white raiment of righteousness. If you'll do those things, I am here at the door to receive you. And then there's one more thing he says, and he knocks. He's knocking at the door. That's showing action. That he's not just standing there passively, but he's using action to bring us around and to help us so that we can be the people that he's called us to be. Now, I want you to understand, many evangelists use that scripture that Jesus is standing at the door and knocking as an evangelistic tool. We're not talking about lost people here. Notice what that verse 14 says, unto the angel of the church. When is the church ever referred to as the lost? When, yeah, there are lost people in the church, but they're not the church. They're not the ecclesia. They become the ecclesia. They become the church. They become a church member when they get saved. When they have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, that's when they become the church. So the church here that they're talking about is a church that's lukewarm. Believers that are lukewarm. Now, he said, anyone that answers the door, he'll come in and sup with them. He'll come in and dine with them. The word is koinonia. They will have fellowship together. They will be as one. Now, when he stands at the door and knocks and there's no answer, there's no koinonia. There's no fellowship. Have you ever seen a person that's saved? You know they're saved. But yet they're not in church. They're not in fellowship with other believers. They're not in fellowship with the Lord. Their fellowship has been broken, but their relationship is still intact. Why? Because we don't lose our salvation when we sin.
Just because my granddaughter doesn't want to hold my hand doesn't mean we're not going to hold hands. Why? Because I'm stronger than she is. And I have a stronger will and a stronger grip. So when we hold hands, rather than just letting her hold on to me, when we're walking along, if she stubs her toe, the first thing she wants to do is let go of me. But me, being a stronger person than her, hang on to her hand so that when she stubs her toe and lets go in an attempt to catch herself, oh, she doesn't have to catch herself because Papa had a hold of her. Let me tell you something. We have a great Papa that has a hold of us. And we cannot fall from His grace. Now, our fellowship may be broke. And when we don't answer that door, He can't come in and dine with us. And that koinonia cannot take place. And He desires that koinonia in our lives. And we should desire that koinonia in our lives as well. When we see the outcome, He says, whosoever overcomes, I will let him come up here and he can sit with me on my throne. That's the next one. Aha, very good. You're ahead of me. That's good. We will be enthroned with him. And then he goes on just a little further. As he overcame and sits on his Father's throne. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Not only will we be enthroned with him, we will rule and reign with him. And that's why he wants us to be one with him. This is not for the lost. This is not evangelism 101. This is church 101. And that's what Jesus was saying to these seven churches. Yes, you are a literal church. You also represent seven different church ages, but you also represent seven different attitudes that are in the church today. And when we see these attitudes prevalent and present, we know now what God wants in our lives. We need to repent. We need to walk back. We need to turn around and not go that direction. We need to go in the direction that God has called us to walk. And because of that, then as he stands at the door of our heart knocking, he will come in and dine with us, and we can have that fellowship. And when we have that fellowship, we will have the koinonia and we'll be enthroned with him and be able to rule and reign with him in all might, in glory. Okay, let's be dismissed. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for all that you've been teaching us through this series. We thank you for these seven churches as they struggled. And we pray, Father, as the Lord wrote to these churches through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to John. We pray, Father, that we too might be able to take this to our own lives and apply it to our life, however that might be, whether it's that we have left our first love, maybe we've been wounded and we're very cautious about interacting with individuals. Maybe we have difficulties in the church that the culture has crept in. Maybe we've just been lukewarm. So, Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless us and to guide us as only you can do, so that we can be the men, the women, the boys, and the girls that you've called us to be through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.